D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily.
Hey, bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
The crowd goes wild. That's us, the BS and B-Boys.
That's us?
BS and B-Boys.
Man, we love you too. Welcome in another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew recording here live at the SEC Sports Pub. With me today, Tomas Mauricio,
president and accounting for, sir.
I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, that's right, bonus coverage this week. We only did 1 hour last week. No game. You don't get the bonus coverage.
That's right.
This week we get the bonus coverage.
That's right. So don't forget, bonus is one of those words.
One of those words.
Yep.
So sit back, relax, grab a drink. Because for those 2 hours, we're going to be doing more Saints wall-to-wall, useless information than anyone needs to know. So we're going to do this thing, what? We're going to do a BS and beer style.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, listen, I got so much stuff. A long
laundry list.
Pages, Tomas, pages and pages. By the way, no Heath today. Heath is a busy man. You know, he's probably out there in Hollywood somewhere working up some kind of big thing that we'll find out. Later
Careful
on.
Now, you don't want to go into those jokes about Hollywood.
No.
In trouble.
He's going to get himself all Weinstein.
You said that during the game.
Yeah. So we have some things specifically. I want to talk about this meltdown that I had on Sunday. Now, you have the Tomas rant.
Yes, sir.
But I blew a gasket on Sunday about an interception thing. I heard y'all laughing at me, too. I don't appreciate that. I'm just letting you know.
No, we were laughing at what you tweeted about me.
What? Which one is that?
Oh, I was on the ground holding.
Oh, well, you know, like, okay, so it was interception. I tweeted out that I meant to tweet out that that Thomas was on the ground with the ball in his hands, and
right.
I guess I put Tomas instead
right.
of. So I was trying to get Tomas to get on the ground so I could take a picture of him on
holding
the ground.
My balls.
Well, we'd have to get a ball. I don't know where you're going with that.
We'd
have to get a ball.
Yeah,
because we didn't have a football. Right, okay. Okay, I see where you're going with this.
All right.
Another thing, cornerbacks and business decisions. Remember Deion Sanders? And he said, hey, when that running back comes around the corner, I got a business decision to make.
That's right.
Okay. Now we have what looks to be
An entrepreneur. A man who's ready to make some decisions.
And when I say this,
yeah,
I want him to make a good decision.
Yeah, he did.
Because – well, I don't think so. I think he's
in
there.
Which one are we talking about now?
Well, I'm talking about Lattimore.
23?
Yes. Here's the thing. This guy is sticking his nose in there, and he's being tough, and everybody's patting him on the back, and I'm thinking to myself, you are way too good and too important to be that aggressive.
Oh, no. But
in run defense.
Yeah, but when you're saying business decision, he's working on a rookie contract.
Oh, yeah, that's 5 years down the road. I'm not worried
about
that.
Well, hey, you start building that portfolio.
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so here he was, beautiful play. I don't know if you saw Baldinger's breakdowns, right? But there was that one where he threw a little pass to the tight end.
Oh, yeah,
he was
right before halftime.
Right, and he was, like, in the end zone, and when he saw the pass come out, he put the brakes on, turned his hips, cut that guy down right there.
We're going to talk
business
more about
decision,
that.
Brother.
Now, that one, I think that was a good business decision.
Okay.
But here's the thing. He's too aggressive. I love it.
I love it, bro.
I don't want him to get hurt trying to be over-aggressive.
Let me tell you what.
He's too important.
You are more likely to get hurt
not playing hard.
Back. Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right. Cam Jordan, is he making a bid? First team All-Pro this year?
Absolutely.
I didn't want to go too far and say – maybe defensive player
of the year.
I mean, I don't know if that might be too much.
If we keep up the way we're doing, defensive player of the year.
All right. And listen, we need you guys out there.
Rookie of the year, Lattimore.
We need some input from one of you techie guys out there. Send us an email, bsandbeer@icloud.com.
There you go.
Heath is going to throw his phone through the wall because he's the only one in the group every time the Saints score,
and they
scored a lot. We get the little notification. It says, well, how's it go? It goes, Touchdown Saints.
Yeah.
And they all go off the field goal, it's good. And they go off slightly different times.
Right.
But I hear mine, I lift it up and I kind of show it to everybody and they laugh and then he just sits there and his don't work. So
right.
then he
it's,
pulls
it's
out
the Saints mobile app.
And he starts changing all the little different.
I opened up my phone and said, "Here, just copy what I've got on my phone." So he puts some of the stuff in there. It doesn't work. I said, "Dude, you didn't copy all the stuff from my phone." He said, "All right, I'm going to do it just like your phone." I said, "All right, do it." Nothing.
Still. So we need a techie. Yeah. Send us an email.
Because
we don't want to see Heath. Yeah. Like, I mean, not only would it destroy his phone, but you never who could be standing in the way.
It's a 3-year-old phone. That's the first.
Yeah, he's probably ready. He's
so,
ready
you
for
know, I don't know what operating system he has running on him. You know, so that could be part of the issue. But drop us a note.
All right. So another thing.
Go ahead.
Our good friend Gary.
Yeah.
Now, those of you who've been following the show over the last 2 years, I know all you guys in Monroe and Ruston, unless you're listening to the podcast. Right. Yeah, you like that, huh? We don't. You may not know exactly what we're talking about. But, you know, listen, where we watch the games, SEC Sports Pub, we have this big old table, and there's what?
The Saints.
There's four TVs and two huge screens.
Right.
And we always have the spot where the Saints are playing. And, you know, and then we have a group of people. They're not all Saints fans. Some of them, you know, some of them are fans.
And it's
just our little group there.
Yeah.
And Gary is part of them. He's a Detroit Lion fan. And we knew Gary is intense.
Right.
And we knew this already. Matter of fact, Gary always tells me I don't watch Lion games in public. And I thought because, he likes to scream and yell and cheer and get mad. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. I like that enthusiasm. But, man, our friend Gary, he was not happy, and I can understand why. But I saw a side of Gary. I got to tell you, I know he's a Marine, so now I think I'm going to be a little more cautious because Gary was, he was not happy. Not happy at all. And so we love you, Gary. We love you, but, you know, we had to talk about it. That was Gary is intense. And I sent a little video. We had a couple of games back. Oh, man, that sad part. It was the game where they scored. What? It must have been Atlanta.
It was the Atlanta. No, it was a Carolina game.
Oh, okay. I knew it was the NFC South.
Carolina game.
They won the game and then called the play back.
So and it ran off 10 seconds off the clock, and so it was done.
Yeah, he got the short end of that stick.
Yeah.
But anyway, so much. I mean, so much to talk about. Not only all the points scored in the Saints game.
Yeah.
But just, I mean, it was like the game that would never end.
Other games that started at the same time were already done.
Well done. I mean, yeah, absolutely. So, I tell you what, man. So much to talk about. Let's get this show started. Let's get it on.
Tonight, on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right. Before we get to all this Saints talk, we got to take care of some business.
Yes, sir.
We got to go over the winners, the weekly Pick'em League.
Yep.
So, Tomas, let us know about what's going on with those guys.
All right. So, the number one position belongs to Rob 22278. And he's tied with another 7-9? Question mark? At 39. Then we have Little Dice by himself at 38.
Little Dice.
Then we have St. Craft Tools, Joe Groove at 37. We have Lord Boudreaux.
Lord Boudreaux.
And All About Saints 9. And Orion tied at 36. Javelin picked over. NC Tiger fan, North Carolina Tiger fan, I guess. Touchdown there at 35. B-Train, Baba Yaga at 34. And then Hootas 47. For Netflix and Chill, BS and Beer Tomas.
Oh, nice.
Kamara Hype Train.
I know there seems to be more names you're calling out just so you could get to your name, I bet.
Well, you know, that's why I grouped them together. So we have one first, one second, two thirds, three at fourth, one, two, three, four at fifth, one, two, three, one, two at sixth, and then I'm in the seventh group.
Hey,
see?
Tomas.
That's pretty good.
You know what I didn't talk about?
What?
Don Bobo. That's right. Listen, 3-0 since we introduced Don Bobo to everybody. Don Bobo. And listen, get your money out, get it ready, because 3-0, that's important. That means something. Hey, listen, we're going to talk wall-to-wall Saints. Y'all don't go anywhere. It's Sports Talk 97.7 and the BS and Beer podcast crew. We're going to come back and we're going to do some good, the bad, and ugly. Y'all stay tuned.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
If you want to destroy my sweater, did you see that tackle?
Yes, Spider-Man.
As I walk away.
I like the people talked about it being Spider-Man.
I like that. No, that was I saw it. I had no idea what it was. Yeah. Welcome back. Sports Talk 97.7. Ruston, Monroe, and the internet, where you find our podcast, BS and Beer. You can find it at Podbean.
iTunes.
Google Play. Or wherever fine podcasts are not sold.
iTunes.
Yeah, that's what I do. I do all the iTunes. I think
not
it's
me.
Easy.
No.
You,
I did nothing
well, you got that other thing. That
Android.
That Android thing. Yeah, yeah. I'm not familiar with that.
Well, I'm
an Apple guy. That's my thing. I like the Apple.
Well, you know, you go to any Apple store anywhere on a weekend, and you will see a line going out the door because everybody's little Apple product is having a problem.
No. Don't try that.
Samsung, I have no problem.
Didn't you guys catch a plane on fire or something? They had to land a plane because
phone
caught
Samsung.
On fire. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway.
All right. Go ahead.
I tell you what. I think it's time for the good, bad, and ugly.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for good and the bad and the ugly.
Thank you, Rye Rye, for introducing the good and the bad and the ugly.
Yes, here you go.
I mean, I don't know if we have enough time for all the good.
Let's pick one thing.
One thing.
One thing. Go ahead. You're up first. Pick one thing.
Okay.
One part. One guy. One.
Wow, man. Where do you start? Okay. I tweeted out.
Yeah.
Craig Robertson.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with him.
You misspelled it, but go ahead.
Yeah, I misspelled it. Okay. You know me, and I'm off and on with pronouncing his name Robinson.
Yeah.
But
Robertson.
Got you. You know me. It's just a focus thing. It's a focus thing. Here's the thing. I'm not saying he had the best game. I would have to easily say Cam Jordan was the most dominant player.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, Lattimore could give him a run for money. But at the time, I'm going to go and work off the curb. A guy that you didn't necessarily expect to have a great game, and he did, and I'm going to have to go with Robertson. Okay. He had – not only did he play well in the run game, he did give up a seam pass very poorly and gave up a touchdown. But then he also had that strip, man. I mean, it was an exciting play. He comes in, he just takes the ball out of Stafford's hands. So I'm going to give him some love on this one.
All right. What you got? All right, I'm going to do like you. Instead of taking the obvious route and say the defensive backs, instead of saying Cam, can't say anybody on the offense. But what I'm going to say is this, Davidson.
He's tough.
We had a guy suddenly show up in the middle of the line. And it was kind of interesting. We had all kinds of defensive calls that were very interesting. You had Cam playing tackle. You had Cam dropping back in cover. There was one play where Cam was covering a wide receiver, for God's sake. I was like, really? Are you serious?
And, man, when he tackled that guy, I mean, you talk about crumble. He was trailing him. And I don't remember exactly how it all developed, but the guy catches the ball and Cam grabs him and he just goes lifeless. I laughed. And I'm like, who tackled him? And it was Cam Jordan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that one where Cam came in and he just stuck his hand underneath the guy's shoulder pad and just basically.
Oh, man. He just, I mean, that was.
That was pretty good.
Wait, hang on.
I'm a beast, Your Honor. Okay? I'm a beast. That's what I do. Okay? She knew this when she met me. Now all of a sudden she got a problem with it.
That's right. Cam Jordan beasting out.
That was
unbelievable. He just decided that I am going to own you and take this play over. You're not going to put a backup tackle in front of me and not give him any help and think it's not going to hurt you really bad.
Right. But like I said, I'm going to go with Davidson because I think that if you saw the middle of the line pressure was consistent and he had a couple of breakthroughs and he forced the runners to break to the outside rather than come up the middle. And he forced, even though he's a kind of a stationary guy, you know, he still forced the quarterback for Detroit,
Stafford,
to have to get rid of the ball. So to me, I think a guy that we wouldn't have expected, because your guy didn't show up. I didn't really see Onyemata do much of anything, you know. But that's okay. You know, at least we have.
I don't know why you got to go there.
Well, I'm just saying.
He played pretty well. He almost had a fumble strip. I mean, the dude's a man among boys. He's just not going to be a guy who makes a lot of flash plays.
All right. Well, so. I'm just saying to you, if picking a guy who we would not have expected, I'm going with Davison.
And I mean, there was a point where Davison damn near broke Stafford in half. It was at a point in the game where I started feeling bad for Stafford. So here's some notes. Okay, so at 8 minutes left in the third quarter, Lattimore interception, touchdown. Then we had a fumble. This was my guy on Yamada, a fumble that was actually ruled down, and it was a good call. Then Stafford drilled, and this, again, maybe not be consecutive plays, but all right in the same area. Stafford drilled by Davidson. Then Tate drilled by Vaccaro. Then Tate drilled again and injured. Then that's when you had the one-handed TD by Jones, and that was when
he was drilled with the broken rib or sore rib.
You're talking about Stafford?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on that drive. Yeah, no, that's what I said, and that's why I brought this up, was because Davidson's the one who drilled him, and this was just part of a series of plays in the third quarter where, again, not all consecutive, but all right in the same area.
Yes.
Now, this is one of the things where I've heard people say, well, the Saints, they quit playing, or they weren't playing until they were playing not to lose, and quite frankly, if you go back
through...
The defense wasn't.
But now, the offense was.
Now, I will say this, though, and this is something that maybe you and I may not agree on, is when you have a 45-10 lead, good coaching would tell you to go conservative and run the clock out. Here's the problem, is they didn't manage it right. They gave up an interception for a touchdown, a punt return for a touchdown, and all of a sudden you go there, you're trying to manage it because, again, I don't have the math, but hypothetically, when you're leading 45-10 with about, 20 minutes, 22 minutes left in the game. Mm-hmm. I bet you could actually do the math that said, hey, look, if we get four first downs and punt the rest of the time, and if Detroit goes on, you know, let's just say hypothetically eight plays, six-minute drive, that there's no way they could actually score enough points to beat you. But you can't give the ball back to them and give them easy scores like the punt return and the interception drew through. Although, listen, that was a hell of a play. The interception, that was, I mean, I don't know how in the world you could prevent that. How a defensive lineman snatches that ball from point-blank range, it was incredible.
Well, I would differ a little bit with you. As we have talked about before, in the past, when the Saints were this juggernaut, it was because they take you to the deep end of the pool and drown your happy behind.
Right.
So you're up 45-10. You get the ball back. You nail it. You don't just step on their throat. You snap their neck.
I get it.
You go down the field and say, just to show you all what we can do, here you go, 52.
I mean, I get it. Okay. But at some point.
But you didn't do that.
Instead,
1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt. Hey, that's going to come back to bite you in the butt. Now, again, our defense only allowed 24 points.
Right.
Okay.
I'll make the point, too, that the Saints didn't just go into the third quarter and go 3-and-out. They scored. The point is that at some point.
Yeah, but they didn't until they came in and it was 1-2-3 punt, 1-3.
It wasn't. When they came out from the third quarter, they scored a touchdown. They got the ball. They moved the ball.
And what was the score?
At some point, it was 45-10.
Right.
And I would say, okay, I'm not saying I disagree with you, Tomas. What I'm saying is that at some point, just sportsmanship, which not you, but a person may say, and I'm sure there's people out there listening to me now saying, psh, the hell with sportsmanship. Just go ahead and at 45-10, the game is over.
It wasn't.
Obviously not.
And maybe that'll remind you 28-3.
Maybe that's a lesson learned, right? Maybe it's a lesson. Well, I will say this. Maybe it wouldn't be a lesson learned if the Saints wouldn't have given up 14 easy points in that situation.
Now, I'm going to say this to you. Sportsmanship, I'm all for sportsmanship. I have no problem with that. But these men are being paid big top dollar to play the game. So you know what? Let's play the game. If you want to stop us, stop us. If you can't stop us, I'm sorry. But that's the way you play the game. Now, I didn't say that you go out there and you rub their face in the mud, but I'm saying, hey, you know what? We have an offensive philosophy. An offensive philosophy is not, you know, dink and dunk. That's not our offensive philosophy. You know, to me, I thought Mark Ingram played a good game. It was very obvious that suddenly we had a real left tackle in the game.
Man.
And for as much as Pete, I like how Pete plays, but he's still
He's no Terron Armstead.
That's correct.
And I mean, look, on top of that, Terron Armstead, that's incredible. Think about this. Not only did he not play for the first 5 weeks.
Yeah.
He didn't play in the preseason.
That's why I wasn't on my rant today, because luckily they got him in before the puck.
He was, right.
So I didn't rant on it.
He wasn't, he didn't even participate in the preseason, you know, like off-season activities.
Yeah.
This guy just steps in and dominates.
Yeah.
Dominates.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt. And Rantchik did a really fine job on the other side. We didn't hurt nothing from the other side. Now, I will say, and I didn't talk about this, but the whole issue about Kelemente being lined up in the wrong place, how many times are you going to call that call?
Apparently two times in a row, if you're
Triplett.
And his crew.
Know, yeah. Because the first time, I'm still looking, I'm like, dude, his head's with the hip. That's the right play. Now, you're going to tell me, okay, you got called for that. You telling me that Unger didn't come up to him and say, dude, just make sure your head is
with
the
hip. Scoot up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, I'm not sure if maybe Armstead got called for it one time as well. So they called it three times in the game.
Yeah, but two time on Clemente.
Yeah, the second time you
that
think he
no
got
sense,
the message.
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes
yeah.
no sense.
Well, you can definitely say that. Listen, I'm trying to say that there is some, because let's look, we talk about Atlanta and the way that they lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, they go back and they break it down and say, man, if they would have ran the ball here instead of passing the ball. So there is some smart play in managing the clock and trying to help expedite the clock. If you manage it properly and you don't turn the ball over, then there's some smart play when you're leading 45-10.
Except that you haven't built your team to do that.
And you know, that could be a very good point.
Okay, you didn't build your team to do that. You didn't say...
Or they're young. It's not that they're not built, it's
now,
that they're
I'm
young.
I'm going to give you this. Adrian Peterson, God bless him, he went to Arizona, had a great game. They fed him the ball over 20 times, two touchdowns. Great. That's the kind of situation he is. Now, if you wanted to play smart ball like you're talking about here... Oh, had we had Adrian Peterson, you could have said, you know what? We're just going to run the ball. Adrian, come on here, sit 8 yards back behind the line, and we're just going to keep feeding you the ball.
Just pound you the ball and then punt. Right.
That I could say, okay, I could see that. But we don't have – that's not our team.
And we're not necessarily built that way.
No.
Though Ingram had a great game, and the Saints did run the ball.
And I think it's because we didn't have Peterson anymore.
I don't want to blame it on Peterson, and I'm not
– The chemistry, dude. I'm telling you, the chemistry changed.
Who knows? I'm not gonna agree with you, because I look at it like this. Peterson was a backup running back. Now,
but he didn't think he was.
But what was happening in the locker room, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But as far as I can tell, it's like, hey, Peterson, just you hang out over here if we need you. I will say this. The 4 or 5 carries that he got a game where coach said, man, we got to get the guy a carry or two. Now, those carries went to Kamara. Those carries went to Ingram, and we got results. Kamara... Another guy, both.
Beast.
I mean,
dude, when he went over that guy, he high hurdled that guy.
Insane.
Dude.
Insane.
Man.
He gets the ball, goes around right in, and literally, the guy didn't bend over. The guy
Not
didn't dive as his ankles, and he might have bent at the waist a little bit.
It was like
Kamara
5 feet,
goes
buddy.
Over the top.
Yeah.
No, it was closer to 6 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe 5.5 feet.
He
right?
cleared
yeah,
him, though. He cleared him.
And hits the ground. Usually, when guys get that high up in the air, you get blasted sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
But he actually gets both feet on the ground
and
continued and then got pushed out of bounds aggressively because of the fact that he don't have a base under him. But, man, I mean, you want to talk about seeing some athletic things, this offense. I still believe the Saints are still trying to find their way offensively.
I would say so. When they only got 1 point for Snead and 1 point for Michael Thomas, yeah, I would say they're still trying to find their way. And where the hell was Fleener? Yeah.
Oh, man, he was.
Thank goodness we have who, man?
Well, and here's the thing. Since we're piling on him and we don't have Heath here today to defend Fleener.
I'm going to let it go. That's not going to be my bad
late
anyway.
Late in the game, there was
right,
a play
the right,
where the Saints had to, I guess you're right. Let's move on to the bad.
All right.
Hey, my bad is there was a play in the game where Fleener finally got a ball thrown his way.
Yeah.
And I thought the defensive back defended it.
Butterfingers.
When I looked back.
Hit him in the hands.
It hit him in the hands. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it was an easy catch, but it's one that a professional football player, especially a receiving tight end. You're not Hooman, who's a blocking tight end. You're a receiving tight end, and it hits his hands. If he catches that ball, because the defensive back basically sold out to defend the pass, missed the ball, was close, but missed it. Fleener catches that ball. He turns upfield, and God knows how many yards he gets on that
catch. So I'm guessing he was on the sidelines. He was hungry. He grabbed himself a poor boy. Had a little bit of that extra grease and mayonnaise on his hands. So when the ball hit him, he just, whoops, went right through.
He might have had some hot dog grease left. One of those, what are the dogs they have on Bourbon Street? The Lucky Dogs. He had a little bit of Lucky Dog juice on his hands.
In a long time,
yeah, I know.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, one of those nights when you're coming home at 2 o'clock in the morning.
One of those steamy, wet buns,
that
buddy.
Amazing. It does not get any better.
All right,
than
so
that.
That's the bad?
The bad.
Well, the bad for me is Sean Payton's blatantly crappy offensive calling for the second half. Sorry, that's my bad.
I just disagree, man.
You don't play to
smart.
Not lose. You play to win.
Dude, 45-10.
Not enough.
You got to run
enough.
Some clock. You can't go out there throwing the ball
not
all over
enough.
The field. And listen, here's the frustrating part. When we're sitting there in the second half, you're getting frustrated because you run Ingram left side, you know, and you're like, man, he didn't get in yards. You're like, come on, just let it go. Come on, let it rip. Throw the ball.
Yeah.
Touchdown, Detroit. And you're like, okay, well, that's why you run the ball.
No, so, but that was a crappy throw.
It was – how in the world – come on, Tomas. You're just mad because you had him on your fantasy team and he didn't score no points for you.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. It's ridiculous.
Hey, look, next segment, we're going to have John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. He was in the locker room. He was in the press box. He can give us a good insight on what's going on with the Saints and what happened on Sunday. Anyway, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew here on Sports Talk 97.7. Don't go anywhere. Lots more to talk about.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer podcast. Well, Tomas, the Saints, unbelievable. The amount of points they scored, Drew Brees didn't really necessarily have a great day. I mean, his passing stats, I think, under 200 yards.
Made me lose my fantasy football.
Oh, here we go. Nobody wants to hear about your fantasy, but I tell you what.
One point for Snead.
One point. What people do want to hear from.
Yes.
John Hendricks.
All right, let's
hear it. Canal Street Chronicles. John, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Man, I tell you what, after that game, I felt like I needed a nap, but then if I would have laid down, I'd have just been staring at the ceiling because I was so wound up. I mean, you want to talk about a game that from beginning to end was just nerve-wracking. It was exciting at first, then it's nerve-wracking, and then it's just play after play, and it's the game just did not end. It just kept going. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that was a long game. I mean, I was talking to some people in the press box, and I was like, you know, this game is just now crossing this threshold in the third quarter, and it's like, was it all the late kickoffs are coming? I mean, that's kind of just how it was going, but look, it was an exciting start. You know, if you would have told me the Saints were to jump out just like that and then get their first defensive touchdown or second and third, I just wouldn't have believed you. And then, you know, for them to squander that 45-10 lead, you know, you talked to Teron Armstead after the game. He said, look, we were scared for a minute. You know, and I mean, rightfully so. You don't want to sit there and dog Atlanta for blowing their 17-point lead to the Dolphins and not be able to take care of your business, too.
Yeah, I mean, even as an observer, I can only imagine the stress that the team – can you imagine having the ball and knowing that if you don't make a first down at this point of the game, that what can happen? I mean, and you know, you have to imagine everybody was just tensing up. And it one thing perpetuates another, and the next thing you know, you're in a situation where you have to dig yourself – out of a hole, not necessarily behind in a score, but just in moving the ball or creating something positive. But speaking of positive, how many three defensive scores where I don't think we've had that. We've never, as a Saints organization, three defensive scores in one game.
Yeah, first time in franchise history that's actually happened. And look, I mean, you know, it was is one thing to see it unfold, you know, at a live setting, but just for it to keep happening, I mean, you've got just all these pieces are starting to come together for this defense. And, I mean, you know, you're starting to look at the past three games for this team, you know, 13 sacks, 7 interceptions, 6 forced fumbles, you know, it 25 passes defended, 16 in that game. I mean, look, I know we talked on this one last week, David, talking about, you know, are we going to see the real Saints defense or not in this game? And look, I think you got to take out that special teams touchdown and that Drew Brees interception for a touchdown. This defense is firing on all cylinders right now, red hot.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's one of those things that when going into this game, I figured after four games into the season, I would know who the Saints were by now. But going into the Detroit game, I still didn't really feel secure about knowing truly what the Saints are. They started off very poorly with two very poor outings where they played just very poorly. Now, I'm going to say poorly again. They played very bad football. Then they played two very strong games. But which team are they? They the team at the beginning of the season? And I think a lot of questions were answered yesterday.
Yeah, I think a lot of questions are answered, too. But, you know, and this is what you kind of alluded to it, too. I mean, this is the Saints team that put up 52 points with Drew Brees throwing for less than 200 yards. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen something like that crazy happen. I mean, it's you just think back across this Sean Payton era, and, you know, to get that many points, you have to be powered by offense. But for them to get the defensive scores and to get it done on the ground without Drew Brees having to throw crazy and all that other good stuff, I mean, that's a really refreshing sign. You know, I think they still have some work to do in the pass protection. I think Drew Brees was off target a little bit yesterday, too. And, look, I think that those are things that they'll work on, and you know, getting Willie Snead integrated again and Teron Armstead and getting more definitive options there in the passing game. But, look, I think the sky's the limit for this team right now, and they're really starting to gain the attention of the national media.
Yeah, John, this is Tomas. I just wanted to follow up on what you said. Certainly, the offense looked to me like it was just a question of Sean wasn't getting the right plays called for what Detroit was throwing at him. But when Dave was asking about which team is it, I always smile because since Crawley has been playing defensive back, the defense has certainly stepped it up. You know, as I always say, that's my guy from last year even. So what do you think about the situation with the defensive backs? Do you think that once you know, some of the other guys get healthy, do you think they're going to get a step in or are going to be slowly brought back?
Well, look, I mean, look, I think your big thing here is P.J. Williams, right? We thought he was going to have way more of a chance to play and such. And, you know, ever since he got in the doghouse in Miami, he has scaled back. He only had two snaps against the Lions. That's pretty crazy. And you got King Crawley that's there. I think he's done some great things, you know, just looking over some of the film. He's made some good adjustments. You know, it hasn't been all good. But, you know, again, there's not many corners that are going to put together a flawless tape. And, look, I think, you know, once Delvin Bro comes back, around week 9 is when he should be able to play against the Buccaneers. I think it'll be Bro and Lattimore on the outside, but I think it's real interesting to think that this secondary might be a little bit stronger of a depth-wise than we've seen over, what, I don't know, past 5, 6, 7 years? Something crazy like that.
Yeah, the depth, insane. And so I'm gonna put you on the spot here about the comment that you just made. So you feel like when Bro comes back at this point, you feel confident that he, and again, this is speculation, but you feel that he would have an inside track on that spot? Or do you think that Crawley's resume so far this season has earned him that playing time?
Well, look, here's what I think. So, and if we're going to go for a perfect world, I think when Bro comes back, I think they're going to try to ease him in maybe a little bit. So maybe when he comes back for the first game, they don't give him the full amount of snaps. I mean, they did the same thing with Teron Armstead yesterday. You know, it was 90% of the snaps. You know, when they were up big,
they tried to give him a break,
come back into the game. But, you know, because the squandered lead, Armstead came back in. But, you know, I think with Bro, look, I know I believe you should go with the hot hand. And, you know, we're still a few weeks away. Crawley's game, we don't hope this, but it could go bad, go south, or Bro just comes in, and I think he, you know, given the path that he had, you know, breakout season when he first came in, then a down season, then injuries, and then another injuries, I'm telling you, Delvin Bro is hungry to play, and I think it'll show up on the field big time when he does get back in.
Well, the one thing that I think we can all agree on is the depth, and I know you already mentioned this, but one way or another, whether Crawley goes back to the bench or gets a reduced role, or maybe they ease Bro back in. One way or another, you're talking about depth at cornerback that the Saints, I can't recall this kind of depth ever. I'm trying to think back to when I felt like the Saints had this type of competitive group. And I go back to the early 80s. I cannot recall it ever being this competitive. So I can't recall it. But
I go back to 67.
Yeah, now Tomas goes back to whenever they were playing with leather helmets and stuff like that.
That's
huh?
Correct. Oh, wow. Goodness gracious.
But, okay, so let's switch gears just a little bit here and talk about next week. We're going into what should have been, and I'm not saying it won't be, we're going into Lambeau Field to play the Packers, but the Packers that won't have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing. And, you know, look, you got to think about it, too. Lambeau is a tough place to play. Saints have lost their last two appearances there, 2011, 2012. I think, you know, when you look at it, even without Aaron Rodgers, you know, I think Cam Jordan said it best that, you know, even though they're preparing for Brett Hundley, this is a well-coached team, and I believe that that's something that's really going to have to really show up this week for the Packers to really make this a big game. But look, I think even despite that, I really see this being a little bit closer of a game than some people will give it credit for, because I think the Saints just struggled on offense a little bit. I think there are ways the Packers can win and kind of frustrate the Saints' offense, but still, even so, you know, you're missing that Breeze, Rodgers. You know, even if this was the last time these two would ever face each other, I, you know, that was what you're looking at and what you're signing up for. But unfortunately, we're not going to get that.
Yeah, one of the things that I think is underestimated is, you know, as great a player as Aaron Rodgers is, that I don't care how great you are, you have to have a good team around you. And I think that's what people are losing sight, because I agree with you, John. I think it's going to be a tough game. Now, if the Saints can continue to play defense the way they're playing and their offense can start finding a little rhythm, then I think they have a very good chance of winning. But I don't think it's just a gimme game because Aaron Rodgers isn't playing.
Yeah, I really don't think that either. And look, I think there's, again, ways that they're going to be able to move the ball against the Saints defense. I mean, you look at the third down defense last week, it was, just wasn't really a strong suit for this team. You know, look, I think they can work with a few things. The Saints have got to get better tackling, because, you know, that first Golden Tate touchdown, that was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it was terrible.
You know, the effort there. So, I mean, look, there's a lot of ways this game can go. And look, for this team, Kenny Vaccaro said it best, that, you know, they haven't been 500 in so long that this is now the true test, because now that you're above 500, the key is not getting back down to 500. So this team is going to prepare. They really feel it. They're having fun out there, and I really think that they should be able to get this game, but I don't think it'll be with ease.
Hey, I have John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles on the line with me right now. John, thank you so much. As usual, we always appreciate your insight, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
Take care. That's John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. He comes in almost every week and talks to us about the Saints' ongoings. He's in the locker room. He has his finger on the pulse of what's going on. Always enjoy the conversations with him. Hey, don't forget the graffiti hotline. We want you to be part of this show. 701-901-1295. Now, it's simple the way it works. All you got to do is call in, leave a voice message. We take the audio, we put it on the show, and then we respond to it. It's always a great way to interact. So don't forget the hotline, or you can follow me, SaintsBS, on Twitter. Anyway, 97.7 Sports Talk and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
I'll tell you what, whoever picks the music for this show,
outstanding.
Yeah. Get you excited.
Yeah, he's not incompetent.
No, not incompetent. Listen, it's 97.7 Sports Talk, Monroe, Louisiana, Ruston, Louisiana, Northern Louisiana, the biggest sports radio station in all of Louisiana, right here, 97.7 Sports Talk. And the BS and Beer podcast crew, minus Heath Elsenson. It's Dave Romero. It's Tomas Mauricio talking wall-to-wall Saints. Listen, we have a couple of hotline calls that we want to get to, because you know what? I always tend to get to talking and forget about them, but we can't do that. So let's take a couple of hotline calls that
we
have left. That number is 701-901-1295. You can follow me at SaintsBS on Twitter. Tomas, give them yours.
I'm BS and Beer. Who
got you on the, put you on the spot.
Sorry, BS
I see
and
over
beer,
there reading your phone. You're supposed to be paying attention.
Yeah, I'm looking at a map of Ruston. That's okay.
Yeah, you know, trying to figure out where everything lays.
Yeah. So yeah, BS and Beer. Who dat? Or Tomas 19.
Tomas 19.
There you go.
All right.
That's how old I am.
They can email us too.
What's the email?
BS and Beer.
Yes.
At iCloud.com.
There you go.
Okay. All right. So anyway, let's get to one of these hotline calls.
Hey guys, this is Joe from the Midwest.
What's up, Joe from the Midwest?
Joe Groove on the Pick'em's League.
Oh, we got to check out where he's at.
Weird, just like McAllister kept saying, weird game. Nice to see the defense get all the turnovers. Very disappointing that this team did not put their foot on the throat of the Lions and choke them out regarding the offense. And some substitutions, maybe backups like Kelemente giving Armstead break. I don't know if there's other backups in at that time, but very disappointing at that point. But overall, a great win. Quidette.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate that, man. That's Joe calling us on the graffiti hotline. Tomas, we kind of disagree here on this a little bit. My thing is, man, I mean, you went in 45-10. You're trying to run the clock out. I just don't know how much more you can put your foot on their throat, except for it just comes a point when you're like, hey, man, we got to get out of here. We got to avoid some injuries. We got to run the clock out and get out. Now, I get it. It didn't work out that way because they didn't manage the clock very well. They gave up quick scores.
Bad plays on the offense that didn't give enough first downs and didn't kill enough clock. Then, yeah, we had a couple of bad plays, honestly, on special teams. And I'm sure they're going to clean that up, the coverages on special teams. You know, but again, you know, we lost Stupar during the game.
Yeah.
And that changes the dynamics there. So,
you know, the special teams had some issues, but they also, if you remember, special teams is what got us in a position for Cam Jordan to get that interception for a touchdown that put us up 14 points. So, you know, it was a mixed bag. I think special teams played well at certain times. One of the things I'm wondering is if Coach Payton is not really trying to create, especially with this young team we have, create that urgency that he's talked about in the past where, you know, just listen, you played well, don't want it to go to your head. So he came to the podium. He seemed very irritated after the game. I think it's something that he's just trying to create a sense of, you know, don't go in there eating the cheese. And I think that's going to be something they're going to be talking about all week long is don't eat the cheese. This is the perfect kind of game against Green Bay that sets you up for disappointment because they are a good team. Aaron Rodgers are not. Hundley, I expect to start. He's a good quarterback. Now, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's capable of beating you. The one positive is I look at the Saints, and the Saints' defense is not the Saints' defense of old that made every quarterback look like they were a very good quarterback. All right, let's take one more hotline call.
All right.
And then we'll talk a little bit about injuries.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. So Don Bobo comes through again for us.
Don Bobo.
We got a good win, but we had a heart attack midway through because we thought that we were going to pull a Falcons and blow his lead and everything. And also, hey, next week, no Aaron Rodgers. And we also played against a handicapped Stafford. So, I mean, hey, Don Bobo's coming through. So keep the contributions coming. Don Bobo's getting it done.
Hey, listen, thanks for the call, Lil Dice. We appreciate it. The one thing is, listen, I'm pretty new to this whole thing. I didn't realize and we were winning. Listen. 3-0 since we introduced Don Bobo.
That's right.
Having said that, we were having some injuries and problems on our own. I didn't realize we had to sacrifice the chicken. Since we started sacrificing the chicken, things have just really gone our way. And two, you are very distracted when you're doing that. Two, I can't imagine this is not going my
way.
That's
a Chick-fil-A comment.
Not going my way. Two, I can't even remember what two was now. So, all right. That's all the hotline calls we have.
Thank God.
I mean, you know, this just, I don't know. Man.
I like to
I don't
be
know.
Distracted.
You are okay. Distracting, looking across from you, making chicken lip noises. I'm trying to run a show here. Oh, man. Now I think it's important that we get the Camafat commercial.
Oh, go ahead.
Listen, you know, we're not making the money that we want to, so we have to find side gigs going on and use this airtime that we've been allowed to try to supplement our income a little bit.
Absolutely.
So we got this camouflage. Oh, camouflage is probably a little bit more appropriate.
I think so, yeah.
Right here, yeah.
Now from the makers of camouflage comes camouflage. Camouflage.
Are you like me and enjoy fresh breath, clean teeth, and looking like a complete moron?
Camouflage. Camouflage.
Do you find yourself saying, I'd like to floss at a more inappropriate time, but how can I look more stupid?
You sure look stupid.
Camouflage.
With Camouflage 14-gauge wire, you get to the hard-to-reach places of your goat or donkey teeth.
Camouflage.
So the next time you're sitting in a board meeting, the sidelines of an NFL game, or maybe the keynote speaker of a Pee Wee Herman dress-alike convention, you can reach for camouflage. And even though you might look like a jackass, you don't have to feel like one.
There you go. Guys, listen, we have a warehouse full of camouflage. It hasn't been selling as I expected it to, but we can't work for free. So listen, if you're not going to send in your contributions to Don Bobo, 3-0 since we introduced Don Bobo.
Yep.
And the injuries significantly less since we started sacrificing the chickens. And if that doesn't work for you, all you have to do is call in, order some camouflage, and you can floss your teeth, your goat or donkey teeth, like Cam Newton does. Anyway, I feel like this segment completely off the rails. Where do we go from here, Tomas?
Well, look. We talk about Ruston. We talk about Monroe.
Okay.
But look, we have a few other places. How about Simsboro, Mount Lebanon, Arcadia? These are all places that I'm sure are receiving our signal.
And listen, we are broadcasting.
Calhoun. Look, Monroe, you got Logtown, you got Sterlington, you got Spencer. Look, I'm just naming them off. All of these towns. They should be out here listening to our show.
Absolutely, and they probably are. Listen,
yeah.
We're broadcasting. We're not like narrow casting.
No. Broad.
We're broadcasting. All these guys are listening to it.
That's
Don't forget, you can listen to us on the podcast if you miss any or all of the show. You want to listen to it? Find us on iTunes or Google Play if you have an Android.
My favorite, of course, is Podbean.
Yeah, Podbean is where it originates from. All you got to do is look us up there.
Yes, and beer.
But
pops right up.
Those guys in northern Louisiana, listen. If you like the show, and do us a favor, call in.
Yes, absolutely.
Or send the station 97.7, send them an email.
Yeah.
Tell them you like us.
Absolutely.
If you don't like us, we are Mike and Mike in the morning, and all you got to do, well, anyway. Hey, let's move on. I got an email here real quick. David emails me just about every week, and he gives me a little rundown. Thought I'd give him a little love on this. He was talking about, does Coleman know how to run a route and make a first down?
No.
He had that one play late in the game. We really could have used it.
Yep.
Catches the ball
all
and then just keeps
forward.
Oh, man, if he just plants his foot,
that's right.
Gets upfield, we get a first down, and we burn some of that clock. Maybe some of all this stuff doesn't happen, but instead, he runs to the sideline. Now, luckily, at least he didn't make it to the sideline before he got tackled. I mean, it really causes some problems stopping the clock. I don't know what he was even thinking.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, hey, listen, it's the BS and Beer podcast
that's
crew,
right.
Tomas Mauricio right here. I'm Dave Romero.
Thanks
I'm
to
your
Coach
host.
O.
Coach Oak. Coach O gives us a hotline call. That don't happen every day.
No, it doesn't.
Big time college football program like that. Anyway, 97.7, the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. Hey, don't forget to download our number 2, the BS and Beer podcast. Follow me, Dave Romero, on Twitter, Saints BS. Look forward to hearing from you.